some music to make people cry.
I know. It makes me a little teary.
Hey, Scotty, do you have any sort of, like music from the film when the cancer girl finally dies? Or like, you know, when the dog heroically saves somebody from a brook? We're just going to read a bunch of storm letters later and just see if we can make everybody cry. Just a whole segment. And then we'll do the top five depressing song. Yes?
Mm. Oh, that would be awful.
Totally. Then we'll just play that Johnny Cash Hurt song over and over again and from Cats in the Cradle, pardon me.
And play You'll Never Walk Alone.
Totally.
The Jerry Lewis version.
All right. He's one of those guys that's going to need an extra huge coffin, by the way. I was looking at Jerry Lewis the other day. He's going to need the normal casket.
Tony Blair is well on his way to become just as bloated.
And that job is killing him.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's beginning to look like Churchill.
It's that job is aging. As much as we have in front of George W. Bush, that job ages you exponentially. Remember how young Bill Clinton was? And then 8 years later, he looked like he was about 80. And he's never recovered. Bill Clinton... I think being president, it's like it accelerates your aging, and then you can never turn it off.
Well, we have Bill Clinton news today, too.
Do we?
Yeah, he's very upset about a TV special coming up.
Oh, all right. Well, let me make sure that I load these. Wait, hold on. Loading Rack Network. These are the Tim Riley news bits that we're going to load
be
here.
Yes, they are. 2 days in a row at work.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable.
No, Jerry Lewis is huge. And in fact, he's so big that when Jerry Lewis finally dies... and they bury him, they should just do it turducken style. They should just bury several smaller people inside of him. This email says, Rick, I hear that Jenny's got a great personality and is a fine little dancer. This is Jenny Hogan from Coin. Rick, not to put too fine a point on it, but the weather rapping girl says, it's a traffic girl, says, give us the weather board, not boy. Nah, she says boy. She totally says boy because it's bad
rapping.
From
all the times you've tortured me with it, please don't play it again.
No, I'm not. Not at all. Yes, this is, she did in fact say Jimmy Jam Jam. All right, that's good times. Didn't we just talk to somebody from Coin? Or KGW?
Yeah, Dan.
Dan from where?
Yesterday.
Where?
Dan, he used to work on Coin, but then he was removed during the unpleasantness.
He was fired. We talked to him on the air yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So
he's going to come in and call screen for us tomorrow.
We had a whole thing tomorrow where Tim is gone tomorrow. And I, of course, have put off to the last possible moment figuring out what we're going to do. So, Scotty J, is your choice to read the news?
I believe so, yes.
You know, Susan Reynolds, of all people, actually offered.
Maybe they could be a news team.
Susan
Why don't
and
we
Scotty.
Alternate? Like, have Susan do it 1 hour?
Totally, the Susan and Scotty show. And then you just need, like, some steaming mugs of coffee in front of them and some fake flowers off to the side. No, Susan was, she's like, I'd be happy to come in and read some news, which is actually not such a bad idea. But then Dan is going to come in and screen the phones.
Mm-hmm.
She's got nothing better to do, or?
He's golfing today.
Is he rich?
I don't know.
Doesn't seem like working at Coin. He could have made very much money.
Well, you know what happens at Coin. If they decide they need the extension cord to your desk, then you're fired.
Totally. They need some place to put Ronchetti's aquarium or something. All right.
He's a really nice guy. He's just like a nice, like, young reporter.
Fantastic.
Yeah, those are the kind of people who lose their jobs.
Well, everyone was really surprised when he lost his job because he was really well-known on the station.
Now, can you reveal, or should we have him reveal tomorrow?
Let's have him do it. I'm not sure.
Is it public knowledge why he was fired? Oh, I'm sorry. Why he was fired? I was going to use a euphemism there. I was going to say, like, let go, and then I was like...
Fired.
Is it known?
You know, I haven't spoken to him in a couple months, so...
All right. Well, we'll let him reveal it tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow on the recap, what's his last name?
Dan DeRose.
DeRose?
Yeah.
DeRose, like D-E-R-O-S-E?
D-R-O-O-S.
Okay, DeRose.
It was,
DeRose is on fire. Okay, so there you go. So, coming tomorrow on a very special Rick Emerson show, Tim is gone, everything goes to hell, Scotty reads the news, and Dan DeRose tells why he was fired. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Portland woman kills a burglar with his own hammer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
59-year-old man found dead inside a home at Southeast Alder near 80th last night after police received a 911 call of an intruder at that residence. Neighbor said a woman who lives in the blue clapboard house came home and found a man inside with a hammer. You got to hammer away and clobbered him over and over again.
So this is, wait, so a guy breaks into a home of where, 80th and what? Alder?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even really sure where that is.
Southeast Alder.
I mean, I guess I know on the map, but I'm trying to picture the area. Because Alder's one of those streets.
Alder's like around Stark, I think.
It's so confusing because Alder.
And it's also down here at
Alder. Alder's one of those streets downtown. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of like ends. Like, Alder's one of those streets that if you were not from here would be very confusing because it runs downtown.
It's right next to Burnside, and then it continues on the other side.
I didn't know that it continued in Southeast, though, and I live in Southeast, and I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Well, whatever. Anyway, so a guy breaks into a home.
Mm-hmm, with a hammer.
The homeowner takes the hammer.
A lady.
And kills the intruder?
Yes.
That is so great. What, and so, I mean, you break into a home with a hammer, you're clearly looking to either do somebody harm or at least threatened to do harm if they're screwing with you. Was he breaking into steel? Do we know why he was breaking in?
We don't know.
What's this woman's name?
It doesn't say. She doesn't want her name to be known.
Why not?
No, she doesn't want people to be afraid of her.
I would think that you wouldn't want everybody to be afraid of you. If you killed a guy breaking into your step above killing somebody with your bare hands, mm-hmm. to actually take the implement from the home intruder and just turn it on him and actually just dispatch him with
We do know she works in the emergency room at a local hospital.
That, you know, that gets the hero tag, as Drew Curtis would say. So God bless you, whoever you are, mystery woman.
Maybe we should invite her to our next listener party.
Serious, maybe she wants to come screen calls. That's our new prize for people we like. Come work for free. Well, congratulations to whoever you are. Well done. And may your life serve as a shining example to others. All right.
Meanwhile, a growling naked man is accused of attacking Spokane girls. A man accused of attacking two Spokane girls is back in jail after being released twice. The attacks took place in front of an officer and that of a 32-year-old man. Eugene Rodney Cormier was naked. The officer was dispatched to a report of a naked man who arrived to see this fellow grab a 13-year-old girl and her 12-year-old sister. He was growling and bit the younger girl on the shoulder.
See, it's not... Look, and I don't mean to make light of more serious...
Too bad she didn't have a hammer.
I don't mean to make light of more serious crimes. There are many sorts of assaults, various types that happen in this world that are bad. But it's the ones that are a little skewed that are the most disturbing to me, like biting. Biting is weird.
No, this is Spokane.
Tickling, licking, rubbing, cuddling, cooing in one's ear tenderly. These are all the things that that I find especially in there. Especially in, you know, and things that are bad are worse in Spokane. It's sort of like, you know what it is? A crime in Spokane is like stubbing your toe when it's cold outside. Somehow it's just worse. The environment just makes it more unpleasant.
Spokane is just one big hangnail.
It's true. Sort of a beige hangnail with like a fungus underneath. You know what it is? Spokane is like that hangnail that you see on TV. What is that toenail with the little cartoon demons underneath it? That's what Spokane is.
All right.
All right. Well, on that note, we've got, let's see. This is from... Todd the Corpse says, Rick, am I missing the big picture of the rapping traffic girl to be completely driven nuts by the fact that her rhyming scheme is completely inconsistent? Yes, because that's what you should expect from a rapping white traffic woman in wherever the hell that was, North Carolina. Yes, her rhyming scheme needs to be consistent. Also, pleased to be posting the video. I want, nay, need to see the video of the rapping traffic girl. I'll put it up. Just watch the side.
All she wanted was an In-N-Out burger. Hotel heiress Paris Hilton arrested overnight in Hollywood for drunk driving. According to Hilton's publicist, Elliot Mintz. Paris, he's been in the news a lot lately.
Elliot Mintz, well, you know, and he's going to be even more so. You can tell he's ramping up here because we're talking to Gary Baumgarten. Bottom at this hour, I believe, 12:30, about that Lennon film that's coming out. And, of course, Elliot Mintz was the spokesperson for Lennon and Yoko.
Well, Mintz says Paris was arrested after a field sobriety test revealed a blood alcohol level of 0.08. He tells TMZ.com that police released her soon after the arrest.
It was determined that she is obviously not a flight risk, and she is not inebriated, and I offered to drive her home. Released to her.
Where's a hammer when you need one? And, you know,
she has to come to Northeast Alder in Idiot.
I thought 0.8, where was this? Is it in California?
Hollywood.
In Hollywood.
Maybe Playground of the Stars.
Maybe Jim Roop has news on this. We'll have to find out. All right, it's 0.8. I thought 0.8 was, I guess it's over 0.8. Is it if you're at 0.08 or above? Is that the thing I ask?
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yes.
We all live in L.A., I guess. So there you go. Well, doctors, we'll see if Roop has news on this.
Mr. Mintz calls her DUI arrest an unfortunate incident.
So, of course, these matters are never to be taken lightly. and it's unfortunate that she was behind the wheel of the car, even with one drink. And it's her first offense, and hopefully it'll never happen again.
Oh, boy, do we all
He's reading fairy tales to children.
I was just going to say, do we all just hate this guy by the sound of his voice? God damn. Could that be a more condo? You know, he sounds...
Once upon a time, there's a little hotel area.
And so does this, she was arrested, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, does this mean there's a mugshot?
Oh.
See, wouldn't you give anything? Because here's the thing about... Now, this was an analogy you never thought you would hear me say.
I have a couple pictures of her getting arrested in handcuffs.
You mean be like being put in the car?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
No, she was cuffed, I think.
But that's what I mean, cuffed and stuffed, as Roscoe P. Coltrane would say. Because here's the thing, and you never really thought that you would hear anybody say this, but I'm going to tell you, and it's going to make you're suddenly going to realize how true this is. Here's the thing about Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton is like our good friend Beavis. And when I say that, do you know what I'm talking about? Paris Hilton, like Beavis, is seen from exactly the same camera angles at all times. Have you ever watched Beavis and Butthead and seen Beavis looking straight into the camera? No. It's always the right side of his face, and it's always turned at like a 40-degree angle. Butthead looks at you straight on. Beavis looks off to the whatever. Because Mike Judge, as he himself said, had very limited animation skills, and he couldn't figure out how to do a head-on shot of Beavis and make it look normal. So that's why he's always only photographed. Beavis only ever drawn in profile. So it is with Paris Hilton. I don't believe I have ever actually seen her looking straight at the camera because I suspect there's something really deeply wrong with her face. Maybe she's got like that, the Thomas York eyes, where like one is all big and one's all small and there are different sections of her head. Maybe. I'm not really sure. But isn't that the thing if you're arrested? I guess I'm unclear about how the mugshot process works, even though there is one of me, I think, actually. Now, I can't remember if there's a mugshot of me or not. I can't remember how the whole process works. Who here has been arrested? Tim?
Me? No.
I'm sorry. Is this Sarah?
No.
Scotty J, have you ever been arrested? Please say yes. Please say yes. Please say yes.
He's thinking.
He's trying to remember. Wait, no, he's gone. Wait. Yeah, no, he's gone. I'm busy. Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Jesus. Guy who's up for review.
I'd watch the sass, Scotty.
That's what I'm saying, brother. I'm forgetting now exactly how it works. I'm trying to replay.
Was she booked and then released?
But
if she was booked, she would have... Booked
but what means does booked mean?
Doesn't it mean that like they fill out all the paperwork and whatnot?
But there's paperwork if you're arrested, period, isn't there?
Yes.
We clearly aren't felonious enough.
Okay, let's go...
So here's the thing. I'm trying to remember. Here's what happened when I got arrested. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see the lights in the rearview mirror. I pull over. Guy comes up. License, registration. I give him my paperwork. He goes back. He comes up. Comes back to the car. And it's those fateful words. Just step out of the car, please. And then she's like, aw, hell no. And you get out. And then I'm like, and what do I say? What exactly what did I say? What phrase came out of my mouth?
What seems to be the problem, officer?
Exactly. I'm sorry, officer. What seems to be the problem? Step out of the car. You think you can talk your way out of it. There's no talking your way out of anything at that point. I get out, and what do I hear at that point? The phrase you've heard a billion times in the movie. Turn around, place your hands on the car, arms and, feet apart.
Are you carrying any weapons on you, sir?
Exactly. Have you been arrested? Are you sure?
No, I've just watched a lot of movies
and television. I'm assuming the position. I put my hands, I spread my legs, whatever. He pats me down, and then I feel hands behind my back. It's the creepiest sensation. I know that should go without saying. But then I feel the cuffs being fastened, puts me in the back of it, and then they leave
your
car.
You don't remember
there.
If you had a mugshot or not?
I don't. I remember being fingerprinted. They fingerprinted me. They put me in a hole.
What were you arrested for?
It sounds so retarded because I'm clearly not a... Do you really want to know? It's the dumbest thing. I had a speeding ticket in the past at one point. I was arrested in whatever, January, let's say. I forget. Like a year before, I'd gotten a speeding ticket. And, of course, I was in radio, dirt broke, no money, paying it off in installments, $10 a month. I got it down to like $10 and forgot to make the final payment. So the deal is, it's like a bill collector where eventually they turn off your lights. Well, the deal is, in Washington anyway, if you don't pay off a speeding ticket fully, after a while, they issue what is called a bench warrant, which means they won't actually come looking for you. But if the cops ever detain you for anything else, they're like, oh, wait, and we've also got this. So it only kicks in if they get you for something else.
If they get overdue video.
Exactly. Where it's like the video store won't come to your house. But it's like if you happen to walk into the video store for something else, that's on, they've got it there waiting for you. So the cop pulled me over because I made an illegal lane change. I didn't signal long enough or some crap.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really was ridiculous. And it's because I do believe I had long hair and driving a beat up car, and they figured there was probably drugs or something. And so I didn't signal long enough. He takes my information, sees that there's an outstanding warrant for my arrest, which automatically kicked in because I never finished paying a speeding ticket. So they arrested me. They put me in the back of the car, which, as I've told the story before, someone had thrown up in earlier that day. That's a good sensation. And the guy was playing Elton John's Greatest Hits. That's the thing I'll remember forever. Playing Rocket Man, and I'm in the back of a vinyl, like, bad vinyl seats and, like, vomit on the floor. Takes me there. They fingerprint me. They handcuffed me to a metal bench next to a woman who had stabbed her husband with a pair of scissors, who had his blood on her, by the way.
Oh.
And then later they put me in a men-only, I think it was only men, so I think they segregated at that point. They put me in a male-only holding cell. It was me and a huge Samoan guy and, like, some other guys that I can't really remember. And I sat in there. It wasn't very long. It was, like, 4 hours, but I got to tell you, it really was enough to be like, I never, ever, ever, ever want to come. I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm street guy or that I've had the hard knocks or that I've learned my tough lesson in hard time. I'm not. I'm a big, soft candy ass. But I have to tell you, that 4 hours in a jail cell, it was terrifying. So you really feel like you're like, you have that realization thinking of like, I am in a jail cell with criminals. Like, I have been arrested. I am being handcuffed and held inside a jail cell at the county jail. And every bad image you have ever seen in any prison film immediately starts coming into your, like, oh, they're going to turn me out. You know, I need to start hoarding smoke so I can fend off sexual assault. You know, it's just every bad image in your life.
So how long were you there for?
Like 4, 5, 6 hours. And then somebody, a friend of mine from work, bailed me out.
I'm going to get on the internet right now and try
God
to find
damn.
That. There has to be a Paris Hilton mugshot. I mean, there was one of Mel Gibson.
Maybe. But the point is, I can't remember if I got a mugshot taken or not. You know, Bill Gates has a mugshot, and they only nailed him for speeding, I think.
Hmm. Well, then, of course, they would have taken one of Paris Hilton. I mean,
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Please let it be true.
Please let it be bad.
Oh, wait, here we go. David, look at this call. David is intimately aware of mugshot process. Fantastic. Attention, advertisers. You, too, can reach David. Hello, sir.
Howdy.
I'm on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi, Mr. Taylor.
Hello. What's up, brother?
Anyway, a bar fight went bad, and...
A bar fight went bad, as opposed to a bar fight going fantastically good.
Yeah, that's when you get away.
fair play to you, sir.
If it's a business or a busy day, then they bring you in, and they put you on a bench with a bunch of other miscreants.
Right.
And then they call your name when it's time for pictures and prints. And first of all, well, for me, they did the prints first, and then they took me in front of this digital camera, and they do a front and a side.
Yeah.
And then they throw you in the concrete holding cell that smells like vomit.
Well, now, was that in Oregon?
Yes.
Okay, this all sounds very familiar. So Washington, which is where I lived at the time, undoubtedly has a very, very similar process. So they must have taken mine. I must have had a mugshot taken. And you know what? They probably did use a digital camera because even at this, and this was 15 years ago, even at that time, when I had this done, and again, it was 1992 maybe, they didn't do the fingerprint thing. They didn't do the ink pad like you see in the movie where they put your fingers in the ink and on the paper. It was electronic. You put your finger, it was like a Xerox machine. You put your fingers on a glass, sort of like a glass surface, like a glass countertop, and there's like a light and it scans your fingers. So, all right. So Paris Hilton. So the point is, in this story, Paris Hilton was arrested for drunk driving and then later released. In that process, she probably got a mugshot taken.
Yes.
All right. Good news. All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
There you go. It's David. All right. Well, that's what I'm talking about. So that's really what we needed to know. That's fine. So let's continue with the story here.
Meanwhile, back to the Paris Hilton story. In a radio interview this morning on Kiss FM in Los Angeles, she said she had been to a charity's fundraising party after a long day of shooting a music video. It was very tiring. And had just one margarita. I had one margarita and was starving because I had not eaten all day. Maybe I was speeding a little bit, but all I wanted to do was get to an In-N-Out burger.
Well, it's all right then.
I think the police wanted to make a statement. There were a lot of people around watching. We don't want to make them think, well, they're giving you special treatment. Well, police said Hilton failed a sobriety test, but was not charged with any offense. That decision will be made by L.A. County District Attorney in the next few days.
I thought it was automatic. I thought...
Not if you're Paris Hilton.
Wait, failed a field sobriety test now. Is that... Did she fail the BAC, the blood alcohol thing, or did she just fail the touch your nose or whatever?
It said she failed a sobriety test.
Well, that's just got to be the... can you count backwards or whatever?
Blow up this balloon.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Standing on one leg.
Yeah. That must... they can't have... Well, but no, but they must have given her the blood alcohol level because they said it was 0.08, right?
Yes.
So I thought it was automatic. I didn't think there was at anybody's discretion whether or not they charge you with that. I thought if you were over the limit, it was a law. Jim Roop will actually be able to tell us this. It was a law that they... Because here's the thing. It's because we all want Paris Hilton to go on trial for something. We all want to see her caught up and ensnared in the legal system. That's really... I'm not going to pretend it's otherwise. That's what we all want. We all want her to end up on a chain gang somewhere in Atlanta being beaten.
Picked up trash like Boy George.
Seriously, that's exactly what it is. And here's another thing. Well, let's break. Let's break. We'll come back. I got so much more to say about Paris Hilton being arrested. You can't even imagine. Alexander will talk about mugshots. Gary Baumgarten will tie it into Paris Hilton, too, because he will talk about John Lennon, this new film coming out about John and Yoko. John and Yoko, represented for a time by Elliot Minter, now represents Paris Hilton, like a 6 degrees kind of thing. So we'll do that. Later on, we will recap last night's rock star supernova, Jim Roop, etc. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Fantastic.
It's true.
Oh, I wish we were running a mic. Whose ass is that?
Misha Barton.
Really?
Yeah.
She has an ass again. It was gone for a while.
And there it is.
She had that horrible thing where you could see her spine from the front. All right. Has she been eating?
I guess so.
Like right. One leg's bigger than the other.
I was actually just going to say.
She's walking.
Is one leg really swollen or one leg really emaciated?
I don't know where you think legs start.
I think one leg ate the other.
Maybe
there.
She's modeling a shoe. Just one.
She's got club leg. Hey, here's a question. I don't really know what club foot is. Who knows? Let's see if Gary Baumgarten knows. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent to the stars from the Big Apple, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I am terrific. How are you?
I'm dandy. It's a good day here. It's a good day. We've been talking about this show, Rockstar Supernova, that's on CBS, and we have a good friend of ours, a woman named Storm Large, who's a competitor on the show and made it all the way until last night. She made it until the second, to last week. Next week is the final week. So she got eliminated last night. So we're all kind of bummed out about that. But, other than that, my friend, it's a good day. You know why? Because Paris Hilton was arrested.
Was she abusive when she got arrested?
I was hoping that she had slurred someone, perhaps slandered a group or a people.
Right. I mean, what's the fun of that? I mean, you know, when you're going to get arrested as a star such as she claims to be, you know, publicly like this for drunk driving, you have to raise the bar beyond where Mel Gibson raised it the last time. Otherwise, it just doesn't count.
No, that really is true. Wait, hold on. We have an artist rendering. This is our recreation of some of Mel Gibson. Where's the, do I have the, oh, I'm sorry, that's me. I've turned off, that's my comedic timing is now off. I've turned off the computer.
What do you think you're looking at, sugar?
There you go. See, Mel Gibson really did. He is the gold standard for abusive celebrities. Paris Hilton, here's why we're happy about her being arrested. A, because we think... Now, Sarah, did you say that there is a mugshot and they're not going to release it, or they didn't take one?
Michael actually just sent me a story saying that they did take a mugshot, but it's not released.
Oh, but it's going to be. But see, that's the thing, is once it exists, it's like that crocodile stingray footage of the Steve Irwin guy. Once that footage is there, unless you just burn it immediately, and they won't because that's part of the public record. A mugshot of Paris Hilton is part of it. I hope she was. I hope that her makeup was gone, and that she had that kind of the bedraggled look that they've got. Because I suspect that Paris Hilton's bedraggled look is many hundreds of notches below a bedraggled look of just an average person.
And maybe she's crying and the mascara is streaming down her face.
See, that, Gary, you're getting into the spirit of things.
I am. you know what I don't understand? Why so many of these people in show business do stupid things like that, drinking and driving? I mean, come on.
I believe that in the case of Paris Hilton, it's because she is really, really, really deeply, deeply dumb. I mean, no, really, there's no way to put a finer point on it than that, my friend. So
I've never met her, so I can't judge, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, here's the thing, is that the connection we're sort of making today is this. See, I can tie it all together, because Paris Hilton is represented by a guy named Elliot Mintz, and Elliot Mintz first came to fame, publicly anyways, in the late 70s, early 80s, because he was the spokesperson for John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And
boy, has he climbed up in his stature.
It's so sad.
Representing John Lennon, who was advocating for peace, and as a result of his advocation for peace during the Vietnam War, the FBI was chasing him and keeping a dossier on him. They're supporting Paris Hilton, who was drunk behind the wheel of a car.
We all got to pay the rent somehow.
That's right, I guess so.
So you, but now, is this, did you interview Yoko, or did you...
She had a news conference.
She had a news conference.
Very, very nice. She was very nice at the news conference.
And it's because...
And I think we discussed her once before, that a friend of mine here in New York had a one-on-one interview with her, and, you know, you hear all these horrible things with the fangs and the nails come out. She was just as gracious. He went to the Dakota, where she still lives, outside of which John Lennon was killed, and she invited him into her house, and they sat down at the kitchen table, and she offered him some tea, and it was just as genteel a situation as one could hope for. So she's apparently mellowed out, if all those other stories about her are true.
Well, Yoko's no fool. She knows where her bread is buttered.
That's true, too.
So this movie is coming out. Is this a documentary, or is this sort of a depiction, like a fictional film?
They're calling it a documentary. It's being released this month, and it's called the U.S. versus John Lennon, and basically it shows how, you know, Lennon believed that, and Yoko Ono cooperated in the making of the film, that Lennon believed that the government was out to get him, and it just proves that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you, because in fact they were out to get him for his outspoken stance against the Vietnam War. And 20 years after his death, these top secret FBI documents were released to the public, which indicate that they had at least 300 documents that they kept on John Lennon. And I guess that just shows that J. Edgar Hoover was keeping the nation safe.
Well, as long as Richard Nixon's priorities were in the right place, my friend.
That's right, exactly.
All right, and this movie comes out when?
This month at a film festival. Whether it, you know, when it gets the actual general release to the public, I don't know. I didn't get to see the film. I've read some of the reviews, and they are mixed reviews on it. What she is trying to do, though, is suggest that the timing of the release of the film is appropriate because of the actions that the federal government now is taking in its war against terrorism, you know, the warrantless wiretapping and the holding people at CIA prisons offshore and the military tribunals at Guantanamo and all that kind of stuff.
It's a good time to be a journalist, my friend. It's a good time to be a pundit.
It is.
All right.
You can comment on important things like the war on terrorism and more important things.
Hey,
that I'm being sarcastic, Paris Hilton.
It's all Paris Hilton. It's all Paris Hilton
all
and
Paris
running
Hilton
mascara.
All That's right.
All right, Gary Baumgarten, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
Catch you later.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten from the city that never sleeps. And ladies and gentlemen, we would now like to introduce to the Rick Emerson radio program. Let's now welcome to the airwaves our good friend from Storm and the Balls, Storm Large. How are you, sister?
I am great, Rick. How are you doing?
Stormy!
Oh, you guys! It's okay! Listen, I gotta make this really fast. I'm gonna probably have more time to talk to you tomorrow. My schedule is really full of press stuff, but they were saying, oh, you gotta talk to Ellen DeGeneres. I'm like, no, I'm talking to Rick Emerson right now.
Oh, you're awesome.
Come on, thank you. Well,
really quick, how'd your day go yesterday? How did everything go after the unpleasantness?
It wasn't unpleasant in the slightest. It was like the hugest, sloppiest storm love fest I've ever seen in my life. Come on, you guys.
Well,
they gave me so much love and so much props. They were great.
I have to tell you, and I know you're short on time, so we'll talk more at some point in the future, but I got to tell you, and this is exactly what I told Davey. It's what everybody in every email and every call we've gotten has said two things. A, that there was not a dry eye anywhere last night during
in the world.
Seriously, and not even on Jason Newsted's face was there dryness, because that wish you were here was fantastic. And of course the goodbye that those guys gave you was, I mean, obviously unbelievable, unprecedented, and it obviously came from the heart. Those guys were talking from, those guys were saying what they really felt.
Absolutely.
Last night. And I gotta say, man, you really went out on top, sister. You really, the cup was full when you were done. So.
I totally agree, and I know I did a lot of press this morning, and there were a lot of people who were very disappointed, but I cannot stress enough how happy I am with my experience, how I came in, and how I went out. And I couldn't have asked for a better, kinder, and more respectful exit. And it was such a good time, you guys, seriously. And Dave Navarro was absolutely serious. He wants to play on my record, and so that means I get to exploit him, and who else can say that they can do that?
Fantastic. Well, I can tell you, I know that you are up to your eyeballs in it, and you're going to be out of town doing stuff for a while, or talking to people, or doing whatever it is that worldwide celebrities do. But I got to tell you that you have one heck of a welcome back when you finally arrive back in Portland, Storm.
And
so.
I can't wait to come home, and I will see you guys. I'll do an exclusive in studio. All day question fest if you want, and
are you going to be able to talk about anything?
I should be home a week from Friday. I'm not exactly sure, but it's been a great ride, and I can't thank you guys enough for being so supportive and just being there for me. I've felt the Northwest love all the way through this. That's what made it possible for me to do this.
Hey, well, it just like we said, it came from the heart, from all of us, and from everybody out there that watched and listened, and the whole city was behind you, and you could really feel it, and so we did. The city.
We're excited for you to come home.
I got to tell you, Portland is not quite the same without you guys. So we are looking forward to the triumphant return of Storm and the Balls. So.
Absolutely, thank you guys, and I will talk to you. I'll try to talk to you tomorrow. Okay.
All right, thank you, Storm.
All right, honey.
All right, sister.
Bye.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Storm Large. All right, there. That was a little surprise. I didn't know if she was going to be able to talk to us today. Davey had mentioned something about it, but I knew that she's, because it's, you know how it is. It's with every.
Are we going to have some clips from her on MSN? Remember how we had some clips from, like, Zaira and a bunch of people?
You mean
when they got kicked off?
Oh, well, that I'm sure, because they do the whole round. That's kind of the thing, like with the Survivor, when people, when they're eliminated on Survivor, somebody goes home, somebody whatever. Anytime somebody gets kicked off, the next 2 days, it's like they do the whole round of all of the shows. That's very cool. It's cool that she took time to talk to us, though. So, and okay, can I just say this? This whole day is going to be a lot of talking about last night. And again, I'll say this up front, because people have asked me this already, that look, we're going to follow it all the way to the bitter end, because there's only a week left.
I just don't want to see Delana cry.
And yeah, I didn't want to say it on the phone with Storm.
She's not on it anymore.
That's what I'm saying. So it really still now is all about Delana, sweet, sweet tears. A couple things. This is sort of a messy show today, because we're just getting to just our thoughts and things as they happen. But first of all, a couple things. A, people have asked when Storm's going to be back. What did she say? A week from Friday? So a week from tomorrow. And I don't know what happens at that point. I don't think anybody, probably Storm doesn't even know. I'm sure that she's going to want to take some time to lock herself in a small, quiet room with no noise and no cameras. And so I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where she's going to go, what's going to happen, what she's going to do, what the ball's schedule is. That's all something that maybe somebody knows that somewhere, but my guess would be that they don't. My guess would be that there's going to be, some time of doing a whole lot of nothing and sitting around and just not being on TV for a while that she's going to want to do and Davey's going to want to do. That would be my guess. Secondly, we're absolutely going to follow it all the way to the end. So next week, next whatever, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I mean, it's, we'll absolutely be talking about the, just because we put, man, we put like 12 weeks or whatever, 15 weeks into this. And it's not just, I mean, obviously, Storm is what brought us all to the party. We watched the show because of Storm. You know, but it's like, come for the storm, stay for the, you know, the Lana's tears.
I'm glad she lasted so long, because then we only have to watch two more shows and it's done.
That's the other thing, is if she'd gone off 4 weeks ago, it would have been like, God damn, do I have to watch another six weeks of this hideous friggin' program?
I really wouldn't have watched it that long.
But yeah, but we'll, you know, because now it's what? It's Toby, Magni, Delana, and Lucas. And later on today, we'll talk about predictions and what happens, and then we'll watch it, we'll figure it all out, and next week it'll come down, and we'll see the deal. But, all right, so there you go. Well, we'll finish the news hour here. We'll do our recap of Rockstar Supernova last night at 1 o'clock. But there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Storm, not to be all about us, but I wonder if we were the first Portland people to talk to.
I don't know.
Probably not. Probably not, but
it doesn't really matter.
But I always like to be able to stamp it exclusive.
There could have been somebody else first, but it doesn't mean that anyone under 60 would have been listening to them.
All right, and we have sound from last night. We'll get to that as well. And then later, yes.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then later on, Scotty's bringing some kid on us who wants to be in radio.
Speaking of other Portland shows, I was listening to another Portland show that happened to be on at my friend's house, and
Portland show was that, Sarah?
It's just a little station. A little station in Portland. And one of the hosts...
FM or AM?
FM. And one of the hosts was saying how she saw...
Oh, I'm sorry.
How she saw how crowded it was at Dante's every week, and, you know, how we're all down there supporting her. And I've never seen this person there.
Wait
ever.
A minute. It was a person on an FM station who was saying that they're constantly at Dante's and that they were pressing the flesh. And then it's been a madhouse, even though this person has apparently never been there.
Yes, it's true.
It is hard to believe.
It is.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, I think we can get next to have Crocodile Hunter stories, at least one. The family of the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin will hold a private funeral sometime next week. Bob Irwin spoke of the family's gratitude for the outpouring of sympathy they received and said there should be a public memorial.
This is Bank
number
One.
Number three, yeah.
We have decided today that a private service will be held within the next 7 days for family members and closest friends only. We have decided to hold a full memorial service within the next 2 weeks at a suitable venue.
All right, so that was who? Was that it?
That was his father.
All right, and his dad had that whole terrible thing about, I've lost me best mate. It was all very, as cheesy as it was last night when Toby did the whole, this is for the crocodile hunter, you know, or whatever. It was cheesy, but God damn it, we're still kind of cool. You know what I mean? And that, Steve Irwin... And not to knock the guy, but I'm saying, has there been just a completely disproportionate amount of media coverage over that guy's death? I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Well, this is day four. We've been talking about it.
And one of those was a vacation day, even. And I'm pretty sure the Pope didn't have this much media coverage. So is he actually? He's not even been buried yet, has he?
Well, no, they're going to keep him around for a while, like Lenin.
They'll send him on a tour.
There'll be a mausoleum.
Well, it's not going to stop until it gets to the morbid end when we see the video of him being speared by the stingray. You know it's true.
They're going to save that till next week.
They'll save that till sweeps week. No, I'm telling you, here's what they'll do with that. The spearing footage, and I don't know if I made this observation yet. I think I told Sarah this off the air, but I can never tell anymore. I can never remember what I've said off the air and what I've said on the air. But I do have to say, in a really horrible way, watching Rockstar Supernova last night was a bit like watching the Steve Irwin stingray footage. You know what I mean? Just because you know the spearing's coming at the end, and you're like, you're trying to enjoy the pretty blue water, and you're trying to enjoy the nature as it swims by all the time, knowing that there's just a big Brandon Lee moment coming at the end. Just a whole lot of, look at the stingray, you know, it's right at the end. What they'll do is they'll put out the Steve Irwin DVD compilation, like the box set of all the Crocodile Hunter episodes, and then they'll do the George Lucas. The spearing will be the supplemental feature that gets you to buy the whole thing. So, all right.
Well, apparently we're not paying enough attention to news from Minnesota, so I got this from WCCO-TV.
Woo!
Minnesota's breaking news. A man trades macaroni and cheese for a bicycle online.
Is this an onion story?
No, this is a real story from WCCO-TV in Minneapolis.
Seriously, if you can
this is where Prairie Home Companion comes from, that type of excitement.
If you can just picture this in the voice of Doyle Redland, it's perfect. A man trades mac and cheese for a bicycle I'm Doyle Redlin reporting. That totally has exactly that. And WCCO, by the way, mm-hmm. I used to be on their radio station. Mm-hmm. When I did the horrible syndicated version of this, I was on WCCO for like a week. And then they discovered what sort of program it was.
Well, apparently this is Jason Berusha's beat. Okay. He's a WCCO reporter.
What an exciting life he must lead.
Ben Broughton rides his bike to work, but can't help think about macaroni and cheese. That's because a couple of weeks ago...
Because he's a simpleton.
Ben found 35 boxes of macaroni and cheese in a dumpster. Some past expiration date. Well, I've eaten worse things.
I don't understand this story at all.
Well, we're just beginning here. We haven't got to the bicycle part yet. Now, he could have been greedy and saved the macaroni and cheese, but decided...
This is macaroni and cheese with an expiration date.
Right.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, there's very little going on in Minneapolis on any given day.
I just
they don't have anyone on Rockstar Supernova.
I'm wishing there was sound with it. So I saw the mac and cheese in the dumpster.
So I'm thinking, here I have 35 boxes of macaroni and cheese. I could eat them, but I do need a bicycle. So
what's a boy to do?
He goes on Minneapolis's Craigslist to the classified ad section and posts. We'll trade 35 boxes of macaroni and cheese for a bicycle. Well, he got 3 phone calls. One of them was a local...
People out there just waiting for that opportunity.
One of them was a local man who had the Raleigh bicycle he was looking for. Well...
Does this imply that there are people sitting around Minnesota with bicycles but no macaroni and cheese and no ability to get macaroni... If only I was able... I've got this bicycle and all this money. If only I was able to get macaroni and cheese somehow... I guess I'll go on to Craigslist.
Because mm-hmm.
that's the easiest way to solve that equation.
So he solved 2 problems. He got rid of 35 boxes of macaroni and cheese that he could have eaten but didn't, and got the bicycle, the Raleigh bicycle he needed.
Fathom being the reporter who sent out to cover the story.
Jason Deruda reported.
I really desperately want to find... Oh, God. Oh, and look at him. Look how proud he looks of the story, too.
Well, he did a lot of digging.
Jesus. Listen to this. Okay, this is the final thing. This is what...
After that, we have a story from Wisconsin.
This is what the FARC guys would call a Rick Romero, meaning the reporting of something that's the bleedingly freaking obvious. Blah, blah, blah. In 3 days, he received phone calls. One of them was a local man willing to trade his bicycle for 35 boxes of macaroni. And then they note, bartering is huge on Craigslist. We found an ad from a man looking to trade for a haircut. It contained this line. If you have those texturizing scissors... I love to clean. It's the worst life imaginable living in this city. Living in Minnesota is not like living elsewhere. All right, I'm going to put that over here in just sort of the keeper pile. Fantastic.
Meanwhile, from Wisconsin comes word that groundskeepers at Forest Hill Cemetery thought it was kids who were stealing dozens of American flags until they found a squirrel's nest. I was mowing, looked up in the distance, and something caught my eye, said Dave Ender, the groundskeeper at the cemetery. Lo and behold, I found the missing flags in a squirrel's nest. I had never seen anything like it before. Those little rascals, they're just amazing.
Why, you little ragamuffins. You darn whippersnappers. Kathy emails and says, by the way, I grew up watching WCCO. It hasn't changed at all. All right, fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
He's a couple of things there. Santa Barbara County Sheriff's deputies came across a bizarre encounter at the La Parisa Mission in Lompoc. Around midnight, they found a 69-year-old Huntington Beach man naked and covered in oats.
What?
Naked and covered in oats.
Oats? Like Quaker oats?
Yes.
Okay.
Before the Quakers get a hold of them. Deputies say the man had covered himself with olive oil, rolled around in oats, and allowed the horses at the mission to lick him clean.
Oh! 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 Oh, I wasn't prepared for that. You got to give me some sort of a 3-2-1 so I can drop mental armor down around my brain and soul for stories like that. Hey, if you didn't hear that, we're going to read it again. just read that. Read that one more time.
Well, Santa Barbara County Sheriff's deputies came across a bizarre encounter at La Parisa Mission in Lompoc. Around midnight, they found a 69-year-old Huntington Beach man naked and covered in oats. Deputies say the man covered himself in olive oil, rolled around in the oats, and allowed the horses at the mission to lick him clean. Now, he told deputies that it also, this is a bit of fantasy of his many times, and he had to drive all the way up from Los Angeles to play it out because this just isn't available there.
Oh, 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 Los Angeles is a city of many pleasures, but apparently there are some things even they cannot
This comes
provide.
To us from KSBY, the spirit of the Central Coast, which is apparently part of that.
I'm sure that they're glad to be forever associated with this story. You should just read this. There's two of these stories. Here's the great thing about this. I didn't really read all the way through that story. I just saw the headline. I only read that story.
It is California.
I only read long enough. And why olive oil? Like, do you suppose he was... Wouldn't you think... I mean, I would imagine honey would probably be... Do horses like olive oil?
It's better for digestion, I believe.
Yeah, it's less sticky.
I guess maybe that's so...
It's good for the colon.
I was just going to say, maybe that is a horse colon thing. I just really want to make this observation, which is... And furthermore... I pulled two stories today involving horses, and I only read far enough to discern because I thought it was the same. I thought it was the same story. I saw like two headlines. It was like man blah 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 with horses, and then there was another story. It was like man blah 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 with horses, and I thought, oh, there's two different variations on the same story. Not at all. Two different stories, two different guys, two different states, and presumably two different horses happening at the same time. We're entering some sort of horse romance nexus, I believe, here in Planet Earth.
You just read the second story. A horse pervert is locked up for breaching bail. Twisted Mark Woolen was locked up in disgrace after being found lurking at the stables where he sexually interfered with a horse.
Interfered.
He had been banned from every field in Britain and was put on a strict curfew after admitting the offense. But while on bail awaiting sentences, Woolen was spotted cycling by the East Benton Stables where the offense took place at dawn on Saturday.
Eyeing longingly the many ponies.
Caught on closed-circuit TV, installed by the horse's owners, arrested and locked up over the weekend.
Imagine reviewing your closed-circuit
tape
the next day.
So now he has an electronic tag where he can be spotted in any stable in case this happened again. Some witnesses who saw the original offense being committed saw him cycling near the stables as she walked her dog, so he's well-known. Despite appeals to remand him in custody, magistrates gave him conditional bail. But the case of the horse's owner, Jane Day, said she was disappointed he had been not locked up. They should have kept him in custody, said she. All we want is for him to be kept away from our horses, and I couldn't believe he had the nerve to come back. My daughter Jennifer came in from walking the dogs and said, Mom, it's Woolen again.
What kind of a community is this where there's a Woolen known horse lover?
But apparently he'd been exposing himself to horses.
Like the horse even knows. Like, what is the point of exposing yourself to a horse? I don't understand. I mean,
probably because they're not that shocked.
Look, really? What are you going to impress a horse with that, pal? Have you ever looked at a horse? I don't think so, baby. It's Mushroomville. They got nothing. That's like showing him your pinky. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the horse is, here's the thing, at least with the oats and olive oil story, the horse is getting something out of it. Though, at least it's sort of a quid pro quo. Here the horse is just puzzled and probably not aroused at all.
Seen one, you've seen them all.
Seriously? Yes.
That's that.
No, can I just say that for a second? I'm going to put these. Do you have the oat story? Did you give that to me?
I did. I will.
Can you fish that out of the trash?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, listen to this. You skip this final segment.
Oh.
Woolen has been spotted on various occasions riding horses in his underwear through the town. That's fantastic. Woolen was caught on March 14th when George Day, the owner of Molly, a Shetland pony, walked into the stable to find Woolen standing next to the pony with no trousers on.
I guess that's after he removed his overcoat.
Sorry. Yes. Oh, good God. Just by the way, in case you're just tuning in, our top story today. Deputies say the man had covered himself in olive oil, rolled around in oats, and allowed the horses of the mission to lick him clean. Let's take a break now. Come back. We'll talk Rockstar Supernova. We will recap last night. We've got audio. We'll get your phone calls. We'll share various conspiracy theories. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there.